All right, welcome to Chasing Shadows. You are listening on KXRW and X-Ray FM. We are a paranormal podcast and radio show. We talk about paranormal, supernatural, and otherwise mysterious topics. My name is Josh Croker. I'm one of your hosts. Joined with my co-hosts today, McLean and Wayne. How are you guys doing?
Great. How are you doing, Josh?
Great.
Glad to be back.
Yeah, good, good. So we are jumping in on an investigation today. It's something we've looked at before. We started off, I did an episode with you guys about the Da Vinci Code. We were looking at whether or not we're chasing shadows on the Da Vinci Code. And then producer Bree and I also did an episode together, and that one we kind of went a little beyond the Da Vinci Code into
a little
the
deeper
story. Yeah, a little deeper. Sorry. On it. Well, it's a deep topic. We brush the surface on the first couple episodes, so we're going a little farther even today. And we're going to the secret society side of things. And we're going to look at the Priory of Sion. Because they're a big part of the modern version of the whole Da Vinci Code story and all the claims from that. So we're going to jump into that and see whether or not we are just chasing shadows on whether or not there's a secret society called the Priory of Sion. And maybe what their aims and their goals are. And, you know, if there's people who claim to be them. So that's what we're talking about today. And because we're doing that, we also have a guest host. We are bringing producer Bree back on for this one.
Welcome, Bree.
Hi, Bree.
Hello. Hello, hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Splendid.
Good. Yeah. We're having you on. You were our co-host on the Beyond the Da Vinci Code episode today. So we wanted to do one with everybody. So we can have a little bit from each of the episodes and look into it a little further. So before we get started on that, though, there's kind of a current event thing, and we wanted to bring it up because it's relevant for KXRW, and that is that it's a pre-recorded show, so this just happened a couple of days ago for us. It'll be a little bit farther when the show airs, but not that far. But there's a shooting in downtown Vancouver, Washington this past week. And it was, it was national news. I saw it quite a few places. And it was a block away from the KXRW studio. It was very close, a block or within a couple blocks of the studio. Within eyeshot, you could walk outside right now and see the building where this all happened. And there's still a lot of details coming out, and there's still a lot of it being fleshed out on what actually happened and what the situation was. So we don't want to really get into any of that or speak to any of that or go into that side of things. But we did just want to take a minute, and as a result of the shooting, one person died and two people are in the hospital. So we just wanted to offer our well wishes and a speedy recovery to those who were injured in the shooting, offer our condolences to those who knew the person who died as a result of the shooting. And it's kind of a solemn thing, and especially when it's so close to home, it feels a lot more serious. And so we just wanted to kind of bring it up and acknowledge it and offer that up for those people who were involved with that. And we have a good community here in Vancouver, and I hope that as terrible as this was, that the community can come together and kind of work towards healing from that. So that's our, we're not going to do a weekly shadow or anything this time. We kind of wanted to do that in place of it, since it was kind of, like I said, close to home on that one, being so close and so relevant for KXRW. So there's that. So we're going to jump back in. Let's get back into the Da Vinci Code side of things, guys. So first off, before we get started, the Priory of Sion. So from the Da Vinci Code, what do you guys remember from the Da Vinci Code of like the Priory of Sion, who they are, what they do?
Not much.
They weren't in the movie that much, yeah, actually. Yeah. It ended up being that they weren't. They got talked about a ton.
Just kind of your typical trope of a group trying to keep a secret quiet. Yeah.
And exactly. They were only in the end. I think they were in like the last couple minutes. But they were the keepers, and they got talked about, and the Catholic Opus Dei was trying to destroy them and discredit them.
Mm-hmm. Quick question.
Sure.
It kind of reminded me of Indiana Jones' Last Crusade.
Oh, sure.
They're the keepers of the secrets. The one there, they had the boat battle.
Oh,
remember,
yeah,
remember the guy that had the tattoo?
They were the guardians. They had the Jerusalem cross.
The secret of the Grail.
Yeah, and it's funny because that is actually, they probably take their inspiration from the same things.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the Priory of Sion and the research that's been done on it in modern times, and especially like from Holy Blood, Holy Grail, ties them to the Knights Templar, who were part of the Crusades and part of all that stuff going on in Jerusalem. So it's not that far off,
right.
And they likely got their inspiration from the same thing. Yeah, but in terms of the modern stuff, there are people who do claim to be part of the Priory still. And it's, you know, they'll do interviews from time to time, and we've talked about some of the things they've been on, but they're kind of a secret society. They don't claim to, like, you know, they're not trying to be a secret society. They just operate better out of the light, as some of them cryptically say. And, you know, it's got, you know, a lot of weird things going on. So that's what we're going to jump into. That's going to be our topic today. You know, I always find it funny because it's been kind of a meme the last few years about the Illuminati. And it almost kind of feels like branding, but, like, you hear the Illuminati thrown out a lot.
Well, I mean, even since, like, the, like, 1993.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, I've heard some songs back in, even then where they were talking about the Illuminati or, like, oh, like, shouts out to the Illuminati.
Right, you know, right. So, kind of became like a social thing, you know, and
stayed popular, too.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of, like, conspiracy theories out there, which, you know, it's funny because there are, like, groups that exist, like, that try and I think the whole thought behind the Illuminati is it's powerful people coming together to control the world and decide how things go. And, like, that kind of stuff isn't unprecedented. There's, like, the Bilderberg group that meets.
Yeah.
And
it's
just powerful
people.
It's
like people. 150, 120 people.
Yeah, right.
So get peace between Europe and U.S. back in the day, and then now it's just all pure finance.
Right, right, and how things are going to play out.
All about the free market.
Yeah, exactly. So that's not unprecedented type of organization, and even then, that's kind of sort of what the objectives of the Priory are stated as for the people who claim to be a part of it. And so I always find it funny that people look at the Illuminati, and even though Da Vinci Code was so popular and the Priory of Sion was part of that, more people don't look at them as kind of like an equivalent to the Illuminati. Mm-hmm. Especially when the Illuminati was a topic in the second movie, Angels and Demons, with the sequel to Da Vinci Code, which I actually thought was a better movie overall. Had Ewan McGregor in it. That was a really, really good one. But they used, like, the Illuminati as a plot device, but in this case, making it look like the Illuminati had come back, because the Illuminati, the whole thing takes this idea from, like, I believe about, like, the 15, 1600s, a group of people who were more interested in doing scientific research than the church and governing bodies at the time were interested in letting them do. So it was kind of, they had to meet in secret and do some stuff like that. And the Illuminati is just the illuminated ones, you know, the ones who are searching for, you know, expanding their knowledge or those kind of things. But the Priory exists, and not a ton of people really look into it the same way. But before we go into the Priory side of things, I wanted to ask you guys, so, like, if the Illuminati did exist, if it's a real thing, who do you think's in the Illuminati? Who's the ends?
I know one for sure.
Yeah?
Angelina Jolie.
Oh, okay.
There's actually a video of her, I think, I don't know if she was inebriated or under the influence, but I believe there's a video out there, maybe it's been deleted, of her talking about Illuminati meetings.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So, and Tomb Raider, Lara Croft, the first movie, was all about the Illuminati.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So her.
For sure. Do you think her dad was a part of it?
I don't know about John Voight.
And then she got into it from him? Or
possibly.
She eclipsed him in acting status, so she got in.
Right. That's the only one I know.
Yeah. The popular ones that I can think of off the top of my head are, like, Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Yeah, right? They're definitely in Illuminati.
That's like, go-to. Mm-hmm. And maybe, like, I've heard a lot of, like, Tupac. Like, that's where he went.
Right.
Like, oh, he's, like, he's with the Illuminati. Right. He's just disappeared because of that.
Yeah, I think they just play on that idea. You know what I mean? Like, they use it like, oh, yeah, whatever. We're not going to say we're in the Illuminati, you know, but
it's we'll use it
a little
as
bit of branding thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I also did just a quick search of people who possibly could be, and it was just Jay-Z, Beyonce, Kanye, Taylor Swift. I'm just like, okay, so the most famous people.
Yeah, the most prominent people in the music industry.
Madonna.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course Madonna's in it.
Yeah.
Of course Madonna.
Yeah, of course Madonna. And Jay-Z and Beyonce, any of you guys see their latest, not their latest video, but the video they did in the Louvre where, like, it's kind of like Mission Royal. I don't remember the name, but it's like royalty or something like that.
It was for their duet stuff, right?
Yeah, like yeah. They were doing it together. Oh my god. It's just them, like, in this incredibly lavish outfits, like, that is obviously, like, almost aristocratic, the stuff they're wearing. And it's in the Louvre. And it's just in front of these, like, in front of the Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
Or on the steps in front of the Nike goddess statue. Like, it's almost they're just, like, flexing their status. You know what I mean? Like, hey, look at us. We're the king and the queen. Like, in front of all the famous paintings and stuff. And
good point.
Yeah. And it's all very, the angles and everything makes it look all kind of, Like, they're framing that, you know, they're front and center for sure. But, like, the feel of it is almost like they're playing on that Da Vinci Code vibe, right? Because that takes place in the Louvre. And it's almost got this, like, ritualistic, like, there's naked bodies moving around in the dancing. And it just feels kind of like they're playing on the paintings and that whole Illuminati vibe. And so they're definitely throwing it out. So I definitely agree on the Jay-Z and Beyonce side. I don't know about Taylor Swift, though.
No, she's... too cutesy for that.
I heard she posts on 4chan, but I don't know if she's in the Illuminati.
If Kanye's there, she's not.
Yeah, she'll that's just a good get point.
Interrupted at every meeting.
Yeah, right. Producer Bree, what about you? Who you think's in the Illuminati?
I don't even know that I can let myself answer that question because that's giving that idea of merit, mm-hmm. and I don't believe in the Illuminati. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in the Illuminati. Mm-hmm. If it does exist, I think that it is way not what it's portrayed to be. Sure. And is way more subtle. Like, and therefore, like boring, why does it even matter at that point?
Minutia, like, who brought the snacks to the Illuminati meeting?
Like,
I second that.
I don't think it's anything that would be, like, as concerning as it's supposed to be, and it wouldn't represent what it's supposed to represent, even if it did exist. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know. And I feel like that's so, like, interesting too, because I mean, I feel like most of the people in our generation, like, I have so many friends who, like, if we started talking about the Illuminati or the Illuminati around them, they would just go off and, like, start telling me all these facts about it. And I'm just like, that's not.
Right. And it gets used in movies and TV all the time. We were just watching American Horror Story.
Yeah.
And they had, basically, they even specifically named it, like, they had a group called The Cooperative. And, like, oh, yeah, they're trying to shape world events. And how they described it in the show is, oh, you know the Illuminati? Yeah, it's like that, but with a different name. And
that's how they described it. No, it was that.
Right.
And, like, they just rebranded themselves.
Oh, so even it was the Illuminati.
It was just the rebranded. Illuminati. Okay, they just rebranded. So
even more,
Gotta stay current.
Exactly.
The Illuminati is in a Taco Bell commercial.
Mm-hmm. It's branding at this point. It's branding at this point.
I feel like it's like, and I apologize to anybody who does believe in Bigfoot. But it's like, for me, it's like the Bigfoot of the pop culture world.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, here's this thing. Like, and it's.
Right.
Like, oh, if we can only figure it out. But it's like, you're not going to, because it's not.
Yeah. There's better things to be looking at in groups that actually claim to be doing the things they do and have maybe some, you know, evidence that they've got that going on. So. So that's just kind of an intro to everything. I would almost say that the Priory of Sion is pretty close to what the Illuminati claims to do. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, start jumping into their history and some of the evidence and things they've been on lately, and go from there on the Priory of Sion. But for now, you're listening to Chasing Shadows on KXRW.
KXRW would like to thank our friends at Nieuw Amsterdam for supporting our radio community. Nieuw Amsterdam is the premier cannabis market in the Vancouver area. They carry a variety of cannabis products ranging from pre-rolls, vape cartridges, and edibles to CBD topicals, oils, and tinctures. Nieuw Amsterdam is located in the Heights Shopping Center on the corner of Mill Plain and Andreessen Road. Open 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. 365 days a year. More information available at newvamsterdam.com. That's newvamsterdam.com.
Community radio like this is brought to you by the generous support by our founding sponsors at ADCO Commercial Printing and Graphics, Clark County's local print shop since 1993. ADCO features stationery, posters, flyers, tickets, business cards, stickers, catalogs, and much more. Print on anything and mail anywhere. Learn more at adco1.com. That's ADCO, the number one.com. All right, welcome back. You are listening to Chasing Shadows on KXRW. We are talking about a secret society today and whether or not there's any evidence that exists for them. That's the Priory of Sion. For those who missed the first segment, we were talking about the Illuminati and some of the stuff that's believed about them, but it also seems to be a lot of branding and not really much going on there, even though it was a real society that existed, you know, back in the 1500-1600 area. And but we do have the Prior Scion, and we've done a couple topics where we've mentioned them a lot, actually. We did the Da Vinci Code, and then we did Beyond the Da Vinci Code, where we talked about Rennes Le Chateau and some of the stuff behind that. And so we mentioned the Prior Scion a bunch of times. But, you know, we wanted to do a deep dive into them. And so there are a few sources on the Prior Scion. So just to give we did a rundown from the Da Vinci Code of, like, the history of them. And mostly it was, like, kind of the same as the Knights Templar in that they were involved in the Crusades in the early 1100s and were involved with treasure coming back from Jerusalem, which kind of like the tie-ins again to the Indiana Jones stuff. But we mentioned Henry Lincoln, who co-wrote Holy Blood, Holy Grail, and that was probably the first big public exposure to the Prior Scion. And that was a book that put forward the theory that Jesus and Mary Magdalene had a baby, and that baby had descendants, and those descendants continued on down their history and exist today, even so far as saying that some of the people in the Prior Scion were part of that bloodline. And the Da Vinci Code took directly from that. The character Sophie Naveux was supposed to be the descendant of Jesus and Mary. And that's kind of their one of their main things that made them popular through Holy Blood, Holy Grail. Now, I've gone through that book quite a bit, and I don't know how much I've talked about it on the past episodes, but, man, it is such a deep dive into the topic. They had been doing research on it before. Henry Lincoln, Michael Bagent, and Lee, it always escapes me. Lee something was the other one. I think Lee might be his last name. But the character Ian McKellen plays is Lee Teabing, which Bagent is an anagram for Teabing, and Lee is the either the first or last name of the other author, so it's very clearly using a naming structure that's the authors of Holy Blood, Holy Grail. But anyways, I think before those authors even got into the bloodline side of things, they were looking in the Prior of Scion and trying to figure out what was going on, because it was they could find traces here and there, but not many people coming forward yet. So Holy Blood, Holy Grail was, at that point, when they wrote it, they actually had gotten in contact with Pierre Plantard. And when talking about the Prior Scion, Pierre Plantard is the biggest name, because he was the person who, when Holy Blood, Holy Grail came out, had the most contact with the authors and was talking about the society the most, and was the one who claimed to be specifically a descendant of Jesus. So Pierre Plantard did that for Holy Blood, Holy Grail. And then there's also the documentary we've talked about, Bloodline. And that's Bruce Burgess, and that was in the early 2000s. That was a little bit more recent. And then that had a guy named Nicholas Haywood coming forward and saying he was talking on behalf of the Prior Scion. And then also in that documentary, there was another person named Gino Sondri, who said he was like a secretary for the Prior Scion.
Mm-hmm.
And he answered a bunch of questions as well for that movie. But the problem with Bloodline was that a lot of the stuff that Bruce Burgess was focusing on was a hoax. The guy who claimed to found a tomb of Mary Magdalene was hoaxing it. And also found to be hoaxing Loch Ness Monster stuff in the day, too. So,
hoax master.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny because when they found out that it had been a hoax, that's how the Rennes Le Chateau community knew. Because they found old pictures, because he went by a different name at the time, and said, oh, this guy hoaxed Loch Ness stuff. Oh, but he's hoaxing this. And then he admitted it. And it was good timing, because he was teasing that he had potentially found the Ark of the Covenant in southern France, which would have been a hoax as well, very clearly.
Right. Did he explain what he found? Because, I mean,
he didn't find anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't. I think he may have, like, gotten a skeleton from, like, I don't know, an old museum or something like that. But he actually had a skeleton, and he put it in a cave and made it look like it was a Knights Templar tomb that had crossed fingers, which ties into the church at Rennes Le Chateau that the priest did, and tried to make it look like it was Mary Magdalene. And so Bloodline is a really good resource to, like, give background topic on the information. If you're interested in Rennes Le Chateau and, like, the things that Da Vinci Code is based off, Bloodline's pretty good to give a background of that, and then go into all the Prior Scion stuff. But the problem with it is that most of it's focused on Ben Hammett, who was hoaxing it. So you have to hit, you know, have it with a whole heaping plate of salt when you watch when you watch the movie. Yeah. Which, man, that just to talk about hoaxes for a second, that guy went through so like he got like bottles from the late 1800s to make it look like the priest was leaving clues. He had like parchments that he had made fake clues on that he then followed. He buried a chest in the landscape that had a perfume vial from the first century AD from Jerusalem, along with coins like from along the years. Like, oh, here's one from like 300 AD. Here's one from 800 AD. Like, here's one from 1200 to make it look like whoever was in charge of the chest was putting coins in. Like, that was their way of like marking it. And it was all just fake. It was all fake. It was all he put it all together. So,
wow.
I mean, that's part of why we do the show.
It's pretty intricate.
Yeah, exactly. He wrote a book about it. He was on the documentary that Bruce did. Like, he went to a lot of effort to make it look like.
I'm imagining someone who knew that their surprise party was happening, you know, how they react. So, like, he found everything. He's like, oh my gosh, yeah, this is so surprising.
Right. Exactly. And on Bloodline, they have him like discovering that stuff. Like, Bruce is going along and spent a bunch of time with him. Like, oh, here's the discovery of this new stuff. And he had to do that. He had to act like it was surprising to him when he had placed it in the landscape.
It looks like I found a vial and three coins. Right. How do you know that? You haven't opened it yet.
Yeah, exactly. So, So that was that really, like, I don't say debunked the whole documentary, but it seemed to delegitimize even the Prior of Sion stuff that he did too, which is really, really sucks because the Prior of Sion stuff was super interesting. And a lot of where that came from was one of the main pieces of literature about the Prior of Sion is written by Rob Howell, is his name. And he wrote a book about the Prior of Sion, and that's one of the main texts about them. And basically, the way that works is that he worked at an esoteric bookstore in London and got contact with a guy named Nicholas Haywood, who actually has ties to British royalty, I believe. Hmm. Maybe a duchess or something, is like an adopted son of a duchess or some weird tie to British royalty. But anyways, and he made contact with him either caught wind that he was with the Prior of Sion or somehow got in. Nicholas Haywood offered that up. And so they brought him in, and he spoke as a representative for the Prior of Sion. And, you know, the answers were super cryptic. They were super, super cryptic, but they were very similar to back in the day when somebody was able to find Pierre Plantard and ask him some questions about the organization too. So there's been a couple different time periods of it existing in the modern age, and mainly around Holy Blood, Holy Grail with Pierre Plantard, and then much more recently with Nicholas Haywood. That was around the time of the Bloodline documentary. And then even more recent than that, there was some new stuff and potentially about the succession of the Grandmasters of the Prior of Sion. There's in the modern age, that's the Prior of Sion. And beyond that, there is, you know, because those are kind of people coming forward saying I'm part of the Priory. But there was another thing, too. And that is some graffiti. After the Bloodline movie came out and I had published an article on some of the paintings that were involved with the topic, if you guys listened to the Beyond the Da Vinci Code episode, you might have heard that. I had a phone call with Bruce Burgess where he talked about some graffiti on a mural on a church in London that had been done recently. And that seemed to be some kind of maybe like coded message and was seemed to be some kind of maybe communication or something. And that was the way it was framed to me. Now, this was also before it was found everything was a hoax for Bruce's documentary. Oh. So it might have been somebody trying to play that up for Bruce. And when I was on, you know, talking with him, that is what got communicated to me. And, you know, part of that hoax was part of this. But either way, it does connect with some of the stuff that's, you know, back in the 70s. And the there were some parchments that had some riddles in them that the Prior of Sion had made as well. So that's like the modern side of the Prior of Sion. Their claims? They claim that they're doing like the Illuminati stuff, that they're trying to shape what's going on in the world. And from the shadows, shape the events of the world to make certain things happen, and do that in a variety of ways, partially and maybe including using Beyonce and Jay-Z to influence the masses.
Wait, yeah, are the Priory and the Illuminati one and the same? Do they work hand in hand?
Well,
are they like you know, that's my sister frat or whatever. Wait, sister frat,
sister sorority.
Yeah, not sister frat. But anyway.
I mean, that's almost what it seems like. Not that they're, I mean, if one exists, then it is the other one. You know what I mean? That the idea of the Prior of Sion and the idea of the Illuminati are almost the same. Exactly. Yeah. And that some of the claims of people who've been involved have been famous people, really famous people. So then we start to look at like evidence and people who've been involved in the past before the modern day stuff. And when Henry Lincoln was researching Holy Blood, Holy Grail, he found some documents that had been filed away in the Bibliothèque Nationale, the French National Library, that claimed to be documents about the Prior of Sion that they had submitted in there, specifically, you know, partly Pierre Plantard. And one of the things was a list of grandmasters from the Prior of Sion. Mm-hmm. And it's a long list. It's a long list, and it's got some very famous people on it. Highlights include Leonardo da Vinci, obviously, Isaac Newton, Nicolas Poussin, the painter who we talked about in the past episodes and who's involved with the Rennes-le-Château side of things, Robert Flood, Victor Hugo, Nicolas Flamel. The alchemist Nicolas Flamel, right? Because that was Harry Potter. That the idea of Nicolas Flamel was on Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Because, and it gets even farther than that, right? Okay. Because in Rob Howell's book, he does a lot of interviews with, or a lot of correspondence with Nicholas Haywood, and actually makes, okay, so their society, they claim like they're an alchemical society. One of their main focuses is alchemy, and that they can straight up, that there are people who exist in the Priory who know how to make the Philosopher's Stone. Whatever that may be, whether it's, you know, true to legend or not, that they can make the Philosopher's Stone. And that they, through alchemy, they can do that.
So is Harry Potter based off the Priory of Sion?
No.
Is this like a plot to be like, hey, this is actually what's going on?
Are the Death Eaters the Priory of Sion?
Yeah, there you go. Careful. They're the secret society.
Be careful. Eric's going to come after you.
No, I think it's more likely that they both – there was the story or the tale of Nicolas Flamel from the 1300s practicing alchemy, and it's more likely that they both took their inspiration from the same thing that it's not necessarily the Priory really did have a person named Nicolas Flamel who was part of their organization. But, you know, it was even suggested that the Priory put this list – to try and attract people, like, hey, look at all the cool people we've got. Come, you know, join our recruiting pamphlet, join our squad.
Yeah, join our squad.
Well, it gets into a lot of theories. Goals. Yeah, there was a lot of reports about like Nazis going after Cathars during World War II, which, and this is all from Rob Howell's book. But the claim is that Nazis went after people who practice Catharism or who were claimed to be Cathars, which some of the Priory did. And so if
sorry to stop you, but what's a Cathar?
Oh,
yeah,
a Cathar.
Can we get an explanation? Robert Rundown.
Get a Robert Rundown, please. For the Cathars. We did that one in the Beyond Da Vinci Code episode. Yeah. They were one of the topics for that. So the Cathars were a religious sect, kind of a sect of Christianity in the 1300s in southern France. Okay. And they kind of believed some things that the Catholic Church deemed heretical and counter to their own teachings.
Okay.
And so there was a siege on a castle there in the Rennes-le-Château area, and they were all killed, basically. Maybe some of them surrendered too, but there was a siege basically where it was the end of the Cathars. I think most of them were probably burned at the stake or something, but the legend goes that they had the Holy Grail. And that during that siege, three people climbed down the mountain that the castle was on top of with the Holy Grail and escaped. So that's the Cathars. They had a heavy presence in the southern France area where Rennes-le-Château is, which is kind of involved with the paintings and some of the riddles that the Prior of Sion put out.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's all stuff that the modern people could have put together and concocted all on their own. It doesn't seem to be a ton of stuff that doesn't just look like it's necessarily a good story. There's not – I mean, the lists are very, very compelling and like, oh, wow, if those people are actually part of the Prior of Sion, that'd be super, super interesting. And, you know – not to always go back to Element 115, but what if the claims are true and the alchemical type stuff is more like not necessarily producing gold? Because in alchemy, I don't know if you guys know much about alchemy, but in alchemy, the great work is basically the ability to turn metals into gold. You can take certain metals and turn it into gold, right? Which would make you rich. But, you know, if Element 115 is gold, you know, gold colored also, which if I remember correctly from the documentary, they even had a little video and it looked like it might be, hey, maybe it's more about that. Maybe it's tying those two things together. Probably not. I like to think it is, but there's literally no evidence for that. So I don't want our listeners to take that to heart or anything. But, you know, the Priory does focus on the alchemical side of things.
So, and I mean, oh, sorry.
No, please.
And I mean, there was all that mystery behind the priest coming into all those riches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where did the riches come from? Did the Priory help him, you know, generate all of those riches for his secrecy or for his help in their mission?
Right.
Or?
And so Nicholas Haywood actually speaks to that in Rob Howell's book. And he says that I believe the Priory was giving him money and that he his head got a little too big and that the Priory were actually the ones who killed him.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can imagine that because there were so many questions brought up around it, you know, and if they invited him in and, you know, given his humble, I guess
stature.
Well, you know, being a priest and whatnot, and then humble all of a position. Sudden going like crazy, it might be like, whoa, come on, guy.
Yeah, because a lot of people thought he was selling masses, which I think in a letter he admitted to doing a couple, but at the rate he was selling them, he would have to do... way too many.
Selling masses?
Yeah, doing private masses for people rather than like...
like a church. Is that not...
Yeah.
It's not kosher.
So like, in like the 1800s and 1900s, priests under the table, like for people who didn't want to come to church, be like, oh, you can come be absolved of your sins and come to a mass. Oh. It's, you know, like off the books just for you and pay me to do it. Like a private mass is the way I understood it.
Is it bad that I don't really see anything wrong with that?
No, you know...
Okay, sorry, we can...
in terms of the laws of the Catholic Church, it would have been against what they were supposed to do.
Their moral laws.
Yeah, we can say that at least. It was against what they were supposed to do. And they should have been bringing in extra money for themselves also, too. Part of it might have just been that it was money that was not given to the church. Okay. Right?
So I guess that's where I was coming from. Like, oh, if it's money that you're throwing into the church, like, what does it matter if they don't want to come to regular mass?
Because then it doesn't go to the church. It goes to the priest.
Ah.
Right? So that could be a lot of where the origin of the law... And we got to the bottom of that one. So that's a little bit about the Priory of Sinai in the modern day and some of the stuff they claim. We're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to look a little bit into that list a little bit more and at some of the more recent but still kind of in the early part of the 1900s and see if we can find some interesting stuff. I know I already mentioned Element 115, but we're going back to it, guys. We're going back to it. So we're going to go on a break. When we come back, talk about more Priory Science stuff. You're listening to Chasing Shadows on KXRW.
KXRW wants to thank our friends and sponsors at Boomerang Therapy Works, where exercise is medicine. They offer a variety of one-on-one treatment options that can be tailored to your health and wellness. They offer physical therapy, massage therapy, personal trainers, exercise programs, group classes, and specialize in customized Parkinson's treatments. Located downtown Vancouver, find out more at boomerangtherapyworks.com, where exercise is medicine.
KXRW is brought to you by the generous sponsors from our friends at New Amsterdam. They are the premier cannabis market in the Vancouver area. You can visit at newvamsterdam.com for more information regarding their specials like CBD Sunday and Munchie Monday. New Amsterdam is located in the Heights Shopping Center on the corner of Mill Plain and Andreessen Road. Open 8 a.m. to 11 p.m., 365 days a year. More information available at newvamsterdam.com. That's newvamsterdam.com.
All right, welcome back to Chasing Shadows. We are, for those just tuning in, we are a radio show and podcast where we talk about paranormal, mysterious, or supernatural topics. We're talking about the Priory of Sion today, a secret society, so we're a little more on the conspiracy side.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, because we've talked about the Da Vinci Code and some of the stuff behind the Da Vinci Code. So we're kind of finishing on that today. We've been comparing them to the Illuminati.
Yes, we have.
and got definitely Jay-Z and Beyonce in there. And before we do that, we've talked about some past episodes, and I want to bring this up for a weird connection here. Here's a weird connection to a past topic, right?
Shoot, Josh.
Yeah, so South American UFOs, right? So South American UFOs. We had we had Sean in here for our guest host on that. And we're talking about South American UFOs, right? And in South America, we had the leader in the past who do you guys remember his name? The translation of his name? He who doubles time and space, and he was supposed to be able to lift rocks, and that was the claim of how they were able to do all of that. Okay, so in South America, you also have the legends of the Viracocha, who were people who came out of the sea after a huge catastrophic event, like a flood type event. Maybe the orange peel shifting of the earth that we've talked about as a theory in past episodes. But when you look at this one, and the Prior of Sion, they look to the Merovingian kings. And those were French kings.
Yes.
Very popular. If you recognize the name Merovingian, that was a character in the Matrix trilogy. Yeah, and that might be where you remember it from. But they were supposed to be sorcerer kings. And their entrance to Europe was documented kind of the same way, in that it was kind of from the sea that they came, just like the Viracocha. So we've got the He Who Doubles Time and Space down in Aztec, kind of making it seem like there was some advanced, like, anti-gravity technology. Okay. So that was a lot of background info from stuff we've done in past episodes, just to go back to this. So we're on the Prior Sion today. So we talked about the list of grandmasters. One of the more recent ones from the early 1900s is a guy named John Cocteau. And he was a famous guy. He was an actor. He was a writer. He wrote a bunch of different stuff. And kind of an eccentric type of guy. And so... the list claims that he was actually part of the secret society and actually the grandmaster of it. And so I was looking on just doing some random research online, and I found a video that was John Cocteau writing a message to the year 2000. And him being a grandmaster of the Prior Sion, if that's true, then it's also an interesting connection, because he talks about South America and a little bit of anti-gravity stuff. So I'm just going to – the video's in French. We've played some clips on the episode before, but the video's in French. So unless all of our listeners speak French, that would be kind of pointless. So I'm going to kind of read what he said from the episode to you guys, just so you get to hear what he said. Long ago, during World War I, I paid a visit to Gabriel Voisin's factory. He was a major airplane manufacturer. I looked at his airplanes and said, "Voisin, why is it that your latest airplanes seem the most old-fashioned to me?" He answered, "It's very simple. We made a mistake. We started with the wing, and we have not come up with something corresponding to the wheel. It's as if we made the first cars with mechanical legs." I immediately realized that this was following the wrong track, and maybe, in your time, this wrong track may have been leapt over, splintered, or even utterly obliterated, and that you may have found something completely different. Unknown to me, but that I have predicted. By which I mean anti-gravitation. St. Augustine wasn't wrong, because Tokyo isn't on our backside and we're not on Tokyo's backside. There is no upside down. If Burkhard Heim suspects that one shouldn't fly but fall, he may prove right. You may now have discovered, like the ancient Incas, some gold or unknown metal which seems light but at the same time is in fact very heavy and which escapes gravitation, and that instead of rising, you who are watching this, the young people I'm facing right now, instead of rising, you are falling. So I don't know, guys. That description right there, just describing a metal similar to gold but not gold that seems light but is heavy and which escapes gravity.
Element 115.
That's element 115, you guys. Totally, that's what Bob Lazar described as element 115, right?
Element 115.
Anti-gravity from the Incas. He who doubles time and space, right? That's a connection that we can. We're close to banking on.
Yeah, I like it.
So obviously it's kind of a silly thing that I'm bringing up here, but it's also a very weird connection when you know, we're like looking at these topics and trying to figure out things that are, you know, on the paranormal or supernatural side, and we find things that are like, okay, that seems pretty okay. That's not that, you know, I like that evidence, and the Bob Lazar documentary seems like a good one. And then, you know, we're over here on the Prior Sion side trying to figure out if there's anything going on with them. And it doesn't seem like there's a ton, but then all of a sudden we pop up with a Grandmaster who's talking about finding, you know, an element that's like gold that causes anti-gravity, talking about the Incas, who from that past episode, we know there was a guy who they said could double time in space and, you know, was potentially credited with building, you know, with this technique of lifting ancient rocks. It's a weird connection.
I like it.
It's a weird connection, you know, like, yeah. It seems like very different topics. But, you know, there are also things that just pop out and go, wow, those are kind of very similar. So I wanted to bring that up while we were on the prior Scion topic because it connected to other past episodes that we have done that I just did not expect at all. That I really didn't expect at all. And then when you get back to the alchemical side of things, you know, you wonder if that's maybe what they're trying to do. Is they know if Element 115 exists, maybe they know about it. And their goal is to create more of it. And that's what the great work is creating stabilized 115. So that's that theory.
Solved.
I like the theory.
Case solved.
That, but emphasis on theory because there's not any evidence for that. There's not any evidence for that.
It's funny. When you asked, like, past episode connection, I would never have guessed South America.
Yeah, right, the South America one. And I was surprised, too, when he threw that out there when I was watching the video. It was kind of like, wow, the Incas and, you know, all the stuff we had learned on that one. So
thanks, Jean Cocteau.
Thanks, the John the Grandmaster. John the Grandmaster. So that's the Prior of Scion stuff. Now that brings us to today and whether or not there are any people who claim to be part of the Prior of Scion, and it seems like there is. It seems like there is because so Rob Howell's book about the Prior of Scion, where he spoke extensively with Nicholas Haywood, they talk about the successor of Pierre Plantard, and that is his son, Thomas Plantard. And I don't think it's in Rob Howell's book, but maybe it's Holy Blood, Holy Grail. But there is a picture of Pierre Plantard with his son at the time, who's supposed to be Thomas Plantard. And, you know, in the last, I think it was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, somebody had online had pointed out a website that had priory symbolism on it. It was really weird. I think the web address had, like, Morphian in the title. So it had just this weird vibe to it. But there was definitely, like, a fleur-de-lis and some other just very obviously priory stuff. And like the about page had information in like history of the Prior of Scion, but it was also like an IT company. So that was kind of a weird thing. Apparently that the claim on that website was that Thomas Plantard de St. Clair, who was supposed to be associated with the Prior of Scion, worked for that organization. So I was looking at the website and kind of going online. And so just to give a description of Thomas Plantard de St. Clair, who had a presence online at the time, I think one of the things that was pointed out from the people who shared it with me was that his LinkedIn said a couple of things about him. One, that he was in the Army Rangers, or he was in some kind of like special forces in the U.S. military. And then after that, he was a record executive, or not a record executive, but an executive at Universal Records.
Interesting.
Working for the music company, which, like, what a big career change to go from military special forces to Universal executive for their music division. And it reminded me more of the Illuminati side of things, you know, how, like, we were talking about it. Like, the first people we named off were all music.
We're all,
you know,
music
Jay-Z and Beyonce and Taylor Swift and Kanye. So seeing that music side of it gave it that Illuminati feel also. But so I was looking around on it and checking out some stuff. So that just kind of took me down the rabbit hole and looking. And, man, if you guys look up this guy online, I mean, his social media is out there. Thomas Plantard. We were talking about Illuminati music stuff. You look at this dude's social media and it's – you know, he's going to concerts constantly and, like, rubbing shoulders with some big names in music, and has all access pass to every show he goes to.
Well, you said he made the switch to what record label?
Universal Records.
Some of Universal Records' top artists include Taylor Swift, Kanye West, Jay-Z, and Rihanna, many of which who are rumored to be in the Illuminati.
So there you go, you guys. There it is.
Adele, 50 Cent.
Baby.
Joe right. Bros, Prince,
so
Queen.
Right. So if people are looking Lady for the Gaga. Illuminati. Yeah, Lady Gaga, there you go. So if people are looking for the Illuminati, look no further than Thomas Plantard de St. Clair, right? Because this guy claims, or at least implies, yes, that he's part of a secret society that's been around for thousands of years, maybe a descendant of Jesus Christ, and was a record executive for a company that worked with people who they believe, or people who a lot of people think are in the Illuminati anyways.
Yep. We coming at you, Plantard.
We coming at you, man. You're the Illuminati, and we see it.
Wow, okay, that's cool.
So that's Plantard, man. That's Plantard. That's as recent as we can get, and that's a Chasing Shadows exclusive take right there. If you're looking for the Illuminati, you can look at the Prior of Sion, and you got something that's real, real close.
Yeah.
That's real, real close.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah. So, now, I'm going to be honest. None of that's real evidence for anything. None of that is evidence for anything. And especially given that, like, I've been doing research in the Reynolds Chateau for a community for a while, that might just be somebody, like, trying what's a good phrase for trying to just, like, sell me a story, and it's all just fake.
Oh, sure. It's all playing just fake. Into it. But, yeah.
But at the very least, there's a guy going to all those concerts.
Yeah. He's got some connections.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got some family ties. So.
Yeah, exactly. And
he's obviously got some money, too. So.
Yeah, exactly. You'd have to have some money.
That is quite the occupation switch, though.
Huh? Yeah.
Right? Military directly into
now,
the music.
Now get this, right? So if you look at LinkedIn, his most recent career change, which is going out of this guy's life, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, part of the Prior Sion. He now is like an advisor at the Swiss consulate.
Oh, interesting.
Just like in Switzerland for the Swiss consulate.
For
Switzerland. Like he's an advisor for them in some way. Like just another, just wait, what?
Is he also Swiss?
No, he would.
Because he's American.
So
right?
Here's the thing. Well, he would have to be special forces in the military.
Yeah.
But if it's the same Thomas Plantard from the book, he's French. 100%
he would,
French.
Yeah, he would be have French ties,
claims,
for sure.
Claims to be descended from the original French kings, the Merovingians. So, like, very, very French. So the thought is, well, if that's actually him, well, then he couldn't have been in the U.S. Special Forces. So that's actually a strike against, unless, of course, I mean, play devil's advocate here, he had the connections to be able to do whatever he felt like doing. Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
And also, if he's got French heritage, that doesn't necessarily mean he was born in France or is a French citizen.
I think specifically because he was already when they were doing Holy Blood, Holy Grail, and they have pictures of him, he's already like 9 or 10.
Born in Paris.
Yeah, so they would have. Yeah, they would have had a. They would have had a history.
Oh, wait, sorry, that was Pierre. My bad.
Yeah, Pierre was. Yeah. But, I mean, that's why there's still a lot of questions, because we don't know a ton of that stuff. So I emailed Rob Howell about this guy that I found online, and he goes, you know, it doesn't really sound like the same guy that I know of and that the Priory claims is part of it, because the list that was in the Bibliothèque Nationale, that some people from the Priory have come and said, like, yeah, that's not exactly a really good list. Here's a better list, and then the last name on it is Thomas Plantard. But in Rob Howell's book, there was also apparently in the Priory some kind of thing that there was conflict. There was a schism is the word they used. There was a schism in the Priory about Thomas and maybe the direction that the Priory was heading. So there's a lot of different claims. There's a lot of different claims, and some of them don't seem to match up. But there's also these really weird connections. All these weird connections, it's like, wow, these guys seem like the Illuminati. Or like, wait, this Grandmaster from the late 1800s, early 1900s is over here talking about anti-gravity, describing something that sounds almost exactly like Element 115. That's not even going into like the painting stuff from the 1600s either. Yeah. And like going into that side of it. And there's been a documentary about Reynolds Chateau where there's people who claim to go back in time. Like they straight up were claiming like, I don't really know what happened here, but we went back in time and saw somebody from the 1600s while we were in this castle. Hmm. So there's weird stuff going on around this topic. And like you look for evidence and there's not a lot of solid evidence, just these connections that seem to hint at that there may be being more.
Hmm.
But, you know, for the listeners who are tuning in, who listened to the Beyond the Da Vinci Code episode, I was talking a little bit at the end about, like, you know, there's not a lot of good evidence for this stuff, you know. And as we're kind of wrapping up here, you know, the goal of this show is to ask if we're chasing shadows. And if we ask, is there evidence that an organization that claims they are the Prior of Sion and exist? Yeah, there is a group that claims to be the Prior of Sion who have filed official records in the French National Library saying they're the Prior of Sion. Did they just make them themselves? I mean, yeah, very possibly. But there are at least people who say they're in the Priory. Now, if you ask the question, is the Prior of Sion a historic organization that have called themselves that and have operated in the same rules and, you know, membership guidelines throughout history, that's much harder to get into. That's much, much harder to get into and really not as much evidence for at all, because you don't have, you know, historical accounts of people coming forward saying, hey, I'm part of the Priory. there's people coming forward now saying we're part of the Priory and the Priory existed in the past. So, I mean, we've gone over some of this stuff, so we're kind of wrapping up here. But on the Chasing Shadow side, for where are you guys on the Prior of Sion? Is this the real Illuminati?
Real quick, I'm sorry.
Oh, we got more? No, last minute. Quick, yeah, sorry last minute entry. Let's do it,
paying attention. Did you say that Thomas Plantard Sinclair was a Grandmaster?
He, and at least their publication that they had within themselves.
1989.
At
one point,
yeah.
Okay, I just saw that, so I just wanted to make sure. Okay.
Yeah. At some point, he's been listed as a Grandmaster of the Priory, but there's... But from what I read in Rob Howell's book, there's been a split recently, specifically about his leadership. So, and the whole alchemical side of things too. You know, the book goes into stuff about they have alchemical philosophies about the way they're trying to shape the world is not necessarily to make it a better place. Their goal, their stated goal, is to help mankind to the next stage of evolution and put things in place that will help that happen. But if you get into the books and some of their other philosophies, it's almost more like, hey, we're going to shape things so people have the need to, for not extreme qualities to come out, but qualities – like they're creating a need for people to have need for leadership. Basically, it almost sounds like, hey, let's kind of make the world a worse place so that people will step up and make it better. And that's how we help push things, is by making challenges for the human race to get through. And the human race has to work it out. And that's how we help human race get to the next step.
Is this the picture that you were talking about?
That's the exact picture I was talking about. Yeah, so that's supposed to be that same guy who's in the Instagram photos and stuff.
Cheeks, man.
He's got the cheeks, yeah.
But that, right? But he does, though. You look at it, and it looks like that could be the same kid. There is a visual similarity to the person claiming online to be Thomas Plantard and the kid who was taking a picture with Pierre Plantard. So, I mean, Illuminati? Priory? Illuma Priory?
I don't know. I mean,
Eric, you seem to have come around a little bit since the beginning of the episode. I
don't know about that. do I think that there could be a group, or there is a group called the Priory of Sion?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. There is. There's people who claim it.
Are there powerful people in entertainment and business and finance and everything else meeting to talk about the free world? Yes.
Bilderberg. Yes, also. Do they intersect?
That's where I don't know.
Yeah. And there's no, we don't have the evidence for that, I don't think. Robert, what do you think? Know. Are you on the Priory Illuminati train here?
I don't know.
The thing I'm like, okay, so it seems like their sole mission in this thing is that they're only created to keep the Holy Grail secret, but I feel like I'm on board for believing that they exist for other things and necessarily that.
And we haven't actually gone over that. See, every time we do an episode on this, I say we're just brushing the surface. Yeah. They claim that they're pre-Christian.
Okay.
They claim that they're pre-Christian and they've existed before that. So my actual thoughts on the Priory of Sion is that if they exist, their main goal, you know, is not to protect the secret of Mary Magdalene and Jesus Christ and having a bloodline. That's not what they're about. Okay. That might be part of what they became over time, but that was not why they originally started and what their main goal is. And they talk about like releasing information and having incontrovertible proof of stuff. I think if they came out with information like that, first off, I don't know how you're going to have incontrovertible proof that Jesus and Mary had a child. I can't even conceptualize how you can have that. You don't have any DNA to test against. It could just be a regular corpse. The situation can be manufactured to make it look like that. I don't understand how they could have incontrovertible proof of that. And even if they did, it would not be a worldwide thing like they claim it would be. They claim it would be like something that impacts the whole world and really changes things. And I don't think that would be it. And that's not to undercut, you know, the value of Christianity or the amount of people who are Christian across the world or anything, but not everybody's Christian, and it would not impact the entire world if it was a secret about Christianity that they were hiding. Yeah. Unless it's some way tied into something else. So
you take out the Holy Grail bloodline thing. Mm-hmm. Part of it, and I'm way more inclined to believe.
Yeah, exactly. And I went back recently and started getting into Holy Blood, Holy Grail, the book, and when they were doing that topics, they were looking in the Priory of Sion, and you can hear them writing in the book where they switch, where they're like talking about it, and they're like, it seems like something's missing here. We're researching this organization and finding out they existed across time, but we don't know why. And then they jump into the whole Sangreal, you know, Holy Blood, Holy Grail, Royal Blood, all that changeover and stuff, and they start having that theory. And
I think that they kind of missed the mark on that. And that's not exactly – and if you pay attention to what the Priory is saying or claiming these days, you'd get that they were around before that. And even though it may be something they're involved in now, it's not why they're around. So that's, you know, that's my on if they exist. Producer Bree, what do you think about the Priory of Sion?
I don't really know.
This is I think this is the most indecisive everybody's been on an episode.
I'm on board.
I don't know how I feel about it. Secret societies are, it's funny because they're probably the most likely thing of the things that we talk about. But they're also probably the hardest for me to get my mind around.
Yeah. Because they exist. We know they exist.
We do.
Which is good.
Yeah. But it's just like measuring the benevolence or malevolence of them is like so hard for me. And it's on such a scale that it's like, yeah, I believe that there are people who belong to an organization that they call the Priory of Sion.
Mm-hmm.
There might even be people that belong to an organization that they call the Illuminati.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Are they what we think they are?
Right.
Probably not.
Right.
Do we know what they are? Probably not.
Right.
But somewhere in between being incredibly benevolent and being incredibly malevolent, somewhere on there. But yeah. It's like, okay, so what's even the point of focusing on them then?
Right. All right, guys. That's our Secret Society episode. You know what I found today? Secret societies are hard to pin down and probably on purpose.
They're secret for a reason, right?
It just took us an hour to figure that out.
Yeah, right? This is a tough one. There's a lot of muddied waters on this one, as there are with some topics. But for anybody listening today, thank you for investigating with us. We'll probably have some more Beyond the Da Vinci Code episodes, but this was our look at the Priory of Sion today with a little bit of exclusive stuff that you don't hear about on Chasing Shadows. So you've been listening today on KXRW. We are a podcast and radio show. We talk about mysterious, paranormal, supernatural topics. If you want to listen to our show, we do podcast and radio episodes. Not all of them are on the radio, but if you did want to listen to more episodes not on the radio, you can find us on typical podcast channels, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or you can find more information about the show or listen to past episodes on www.chasingshadowsradio.com. To my co-hosts and our guest host, Producer Bree, thanks for being on today, guys.
Thank you for letting me
Thanks for hosting,
rant.
Josh.
Yeah, thanks for running us down the road, my friend.
Of course. It's another Da Vinci Code wand, so thanks for sticking around with me. I know that I can get kind of long-winded on those because I've been so much time in the past, but appreciate you guys going on the investigation with me today. And that's going to be it for us. We are Chasing Shadows. You've been listening to KXRW.
KXRW would like to thank Interstate Special Events for sponsoring our radio community. Interstate Special Events is a family-owned and operated business since 1983. They provide a customized inventory of rental items for the staging of social and corporate events in the greater Portland metropolitan area. You have enough to do in your organizing. Let them do the setup and breakdown for your next event. Interstate Event Services, located off of Northeast Lombard Place in Portland. More information available at isevents.com.
The Census is hiring for part-time jobs with flexible hours. For more information, you can check out 2020census.gov/jobs. You may have another job, be retired, or looking for extra income. You can also help make sure that everyone gets counted. For information on jobs in one of our field offices, you can apply at census.gov/fieldjobs.